song with the ever-living Spirit, while eternal ages run.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, after a while, I don't know about you, but sometimes we have a hard time enduring what you're going through as a Christian. You know, the patience wears a bit thin, to say the least. You get perplexed and maybe a little frustrated as a disciple of Jesus. I mean, all you have to do is ask John the Baptist for that. I mean, he powerfully preached Jesus as the stronger one that would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, that Jesus would bring heaven's judgment by gathering the wheat into the barn, but also by burning the chaff with a fire that would never go out. The Baptist spoke truth to power. I mean, seriously, would you have the guts to call the religious bigwigs a brood of vipers? Well, he did, and he did it without hesitation. Would you have had the backbone to tell the king that his marriage to his brother's wife was not God-pleasing? Well, he did, and he did it without blinking an eye. And his ministry, my goodness, it was hugely successful. He baptized people by the hundreds, if not thousands, and huge crowds followed him. His first congregation by the wilderness, by the Jordan, was busting at the seams. So, you know, good grief. You don't get any more faithful than John the Baptist, or anyone more zealous or hardworking for the Lord. And now look at where he lives. His address is 111 Penitentiary Lane. In Jerusalem, he's rotting in a prison cell with all the low-life losers, hardcore felons, and the radical revolutionaries. Baked grasshoppers covered with wild honey was a wilderness feast now compared to the spoiled, rotten, and maggot-infested bread served behind bars that even the jail rats won't even touch. If only John still had that camel hair coat to give him a little bit of warmth at night in his cell. I mean, this isn't supposed to happen, is it? I mean, really, Jesus? Where's the power of your kingdom? Where is your messianic reign? Why is John suffering so much? Why is this faithful servant now helpless and imprisoned? Perhaps, Jesus, perhaps you're going to send your apostles as your posse to break him out, huh? Well, you'd better hurry, because he's not doing well. He's not doing very well, Jesus. He may even lose his head if you delay any longer. I mean, Jesus, you are not acting and looking like the Messiah that we expected or the Christ that we want you to be. So, Jesus, you know, you'd better get your act together. I mean, a little help here, Jesus, huh? We're just a tad bit confused. Yeah, John, he's confused as well. And so he sends a few of his disciples to Jesus with an urgent question that we heard in the text. Jesus, are you the Christ? Huh? Are you? Or should we expect someone else? I mean, we're really puzzled by you, Jesus. We're not so sure about you anymore. We're not so sure that we want you to be Messiah anymore. You're just not doing it for me. Does Jesus meet your expectations? I mean, what do you expect? You know, in the hyper-religious real-life preachers of LA, American scene, that you can watch on the Oxygen channel, it goes like this. You know, get Jesus and you'll be healthy. Make Jesus the Lord of your life and you'll be wealthy. Millionaire wealthy. Get Jesus and your life will be turned around, all problems solved, the very second that you decide to make him the Lord and Master of your life. But yet, here we all sit, like John in a prison cell to a certain degree. Things in life don't turn out like we planned. Our lives seem to be rotting on the vine. Family and marriage breakdowns, rebellious children, loss of a job, depression, failing test after test, a disease that ravages the body. A friend dies, your body grows weaker and older, and death is knocking on your door. We thought being a Christian would solve all of our problems, and yet here we are. Life isn't so happy, is it? And so Jesus doesn't seem to produce the life we want, or the life that we expected. And so we're just like John in prison. Life isn't supposed to be like this, is it? And we too, like John, begin to have our doubts. And the endurance tank of being a Christian is just about empty. So Jesus, are you the expected one? Are you the Savior or aren't you? Come on. So if you are, let's see some action, man. Why don't you get involved in our lives? Why don't you get things turned around? No offense, Jesus, but you know, if you don't want to be the Savior, then we can certainly start shopping around for another one. I mean, there's no skin off our nose. You know, we're really starting to have our doubts about you. Now, in the text, his answer to John's disciples and to all of us today is this. You go tell John, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel or the good news preached to them. Now that, brothers and sisters, is a quote from the Bible. It's from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 29 and Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. Jesus gives doubting and soon to be beheaded John the Baptist a word of promise from the Bible. The very promise of the Messianic age. The very pledge of God coming to rescue his people. The self-same guarantee of the Savior. And Jesus' answer to John and to all of you today is this. It's all right before your very eyes. The time has come. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's it. Watch me. I'm just getting started, Jesus is saying. And the best is yet to come. Just wait until I make one final trip to Jerusalem. And then Jesus praises and he extols John as the fulfillment of Bible prophecy as well. John was not a mere sideshow or just a great man. The Baptist who rots away in prison is the promised prophet of the last days, the promised Elijah to prepare people for the great and terrible day of the Lord. John is the greatest among anyone born of women. Why? Because he stood between the Old and New Testaments and preached the coming of Jesus to and for sinners. And now here is Jesus. He doesn't meet John's expectations and he doesn't meet ours, and we doubt. That's because Jesus does the Messiah job his way. He comes humbly in the form of a servant. Compared with John, then, Jesus is the least. Jesus becomes a nothing. He allows himself to be rejected, suffer, and die. Where is the great and the terrible day of the Lord? Where is the wrath of God against an evil world and evil people? I'll tell you where it is. It's on Jesus as he hangs on the cross, the suffering king. Brothers and sisters, see how the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, just as Jesus said. The king, Jesus, crucified. Violent men take matters into their own hands. Judas betrays him. Peter denies him. Pilate issues the death sentence. The soldiers beat him. The hammer spikes into his feet and hands. They hang the body on the tree. He suffers. He dies. The Messiah, Savior, for you. And for your salvation. Isn't that just scandalous and outrageous? Well, of course it is. But like John's preaching, all I can do is offer you a bigger dose of Jesus and his word of promise. And so here goes. You too are died for. Your sins are answered for, and they are forgiven. In Jesus, the violently crucified Savior, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. And he has brought it to you in your baptism as well. For you bear the name of the crucified king on your bodies. He's tattooed you with his name. So now your bodies are the dwelling places, temples of the Holy Spirit, because of that washing. Yes, brothers and sisters, the crucified but now risen and ascended Jesus brings the kingdom of heaven to you in his supper. And there you too have the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation with his promise given to you there. Blessed are you. Yes. Blessed are you, for the time of doubting is over. Now is the time of believing and enduring to the day of your death or to the last day, whichever comes first. No more bumbling and stumbling over Jesus, because he's come for you. Now, I know that's not what you expected, but he is what he is. He is what you get, and you belong to him. Look at his scars. Eat and drink his body and blood. He is the promised one. He's the Messiah, the Savior. There is no other one. Brothers and sisters, in your life, happy enduring as his disciple until the end, you will be saved. In the name of Jesus, amen.